Call to order, and Madam Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Anzalotti.
Here.
Councilmember Ojala.
Here.
Councilmember Best.
Here.
Councilmember Tudor.
Here.
Mayor Carrington.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Moline.
Here.
Councilmember Alcantara.
Here.
All here.
Okay, and then I believe Sarah Tudor is going to lead us in the pledge, please.
To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so next up we have a special swearing in for one of our newest officers, and I believe Chief Shelton is here to do the honors.
Test. Members of the council, mayor, and citizens of Palmer, I'm Chief Dwayne Shelton. I'd like to introduce to you our newest officer of the Palmer Police Force, Officer Christopher Shane Bozeman. He goes by Officer Bozeman and Shane. Shane, go ahead and step forward. I'm going to try and hold the mic, hold my right hand up and everything. We'll be all right. All right. Go ahead and raise your right hand and then repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
To uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States.
To uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
And the laws.
And the laws.
Of the state of Alaska.
Of the state of Alaska.
I will enforce these laws. With both vigor and compassion.
With both vigor and compassion.
I will maintain the courage.
I will maintain the courage.
To withstand.
To withstand.
Unethical pressure.
Unethical pressure.
And to face fear and danger.
And to face fear and danger.
I will hold myself.
I will hold myself.
And others.
And others.
Accountable for our actions.
Accountable for our actions.
And answer to the people we serve.
And answer to the people we serve.
I will never betray my badge.
I will never betray my badge.
My integrity.
Or my character.
Or my character. And I will guide my life.
And I will guide my life.
Both on and off duty.
Both on and off duty.
By the law enforcement code of ethics.
By the law enforcement code of ethics.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
And it's not official until you sign it.
And we're just going to take a brief pause so that you can get some pictures with your family. And okay. Oh, you don't want them? That's on record, sir. And any of you that were here for that, and if you don't plan to stay for the rest of the meeting, you're excused. So. Okay. All right. So next up, we have the approval of the agenda. And within that agenda, we have an action memorandum number 23009, appointments to the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, as well as approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, which was January 10th, 2023. What's the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Object. Madam Mayor. Can I just point out that on the minutes of the previous meeting, it did not show Councilman Tudor as present, and I do believe that he was indeed here. I remember him well being here on that day. So I think if you...
How could we miss that?
I think we need to fix that before we approve those minutes.
Thank you. All right. We'll make sure that's taken care of. All right. We good? Okay. The approval?
Yep.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and call roll, please.
Here.
Yep.
Councilmember Tweeter.
Here.
Deputy Mayor Moline.
Here.
Mayor Carrington.
Yes.
Councilmember El Cantra.
Yes.
Councilmember Best.
Okay, and next up we have communication and appearance requests. First off, we have a proclamation recognizing more than 75 years of the Mat-Su Valley Frontiersman newspaper. I believe Jeremiah Bartz will be, is he present today? Oh, great, fantastic. Thank you. Well, why don't you come on up, and I think Councilman Alcantara is going to go ahead and present you with that.
First, I read it all to you. Okay. Make sure my fellow councilman turns the mic on.
I think
is that working?
No, I don't think so. You turned it off, or is it?
Probably didn't.
Oh. There you go.
Thank you.
Our tech guy. I'm sure Mayor Carrington planned this because he knew I'd do a 9-minute ad lib, but I'm gonna stick to the actual proclamation. So recognizing more than 75 years of the Mat-Su Valley Frontiersman newspaper. Whereas freedom of the press, the right to report news or circulate opinion without censorship from the government was considered, quote, one of the great bulwarks of liberty, end quote, by the founding fathers of the United States, Americans enjoy freedom of the press as one of the rights guaranteed by the First Amendment. Whereas the information age has changed the way many people get their news, but local newspapers such as the Frontiersman continue to serve as valuable resources for readers interested in learning more about and becoming more involved in their communities. And whereas the Frontiersman has been a resource for residents who want to become more active in our community and to learn more about community events, the Frontiersman has promoted great things in our community like the State Fair, Colony Days, Colony Christmas, our local school events, and our service organization projects. Whereas a strong, locally based small business community has been the bedrock of the Palmer economy, creating jobs in the community and contributing tax dollars that can be used to strengthen local schools and infrastructure, the Frontiersman does their part by providing affordable and effective advertising space to local business owners looking to connect with our citizens. Whereas the Frontiersman has provided a solid resource for all local government activity, planning operations, and changes in law and policies, and whereas the Mat-Su Valley Frontiersman was first published on September 17, 1947, might even predate John Moosey, serving the citizens of Palmer for over 75 years. Now, therefore, it is proclaimed by the Mayor and City Council of the City of Palmer, Alaska, to hereby proclaim September 17th, 2023, to be Mat-Su Valley Frontiersman Day. That's our anniversary. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the city of Palmer to be affixed on this 24th day of January, 2023. Pamela Moline, Deputy Mayor, Shelley Atkinson, City Clerk. Thank you, Jeremiah. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, we're going to send this in. Maybe get some coverage from Frontiers. We know a guy? No.
Okay, great. They cover sports well, that's for sure. Thank you. That's not a lot, so there you go. Yes. Yeah, please. Yep, I think we're good. Okay, next up, we have one of our favorite people, Linda Combs, who is the board president for the Palmer Senior Citizen Center, DBA Mat-Su Senior Services. Come on up.
What?
Yep.
No, you don't have to talk. You just stand here for a minute. I still get to boss around at least somebody, so. As the deputy mayor said, My name is Linda Combs, and we won't go through all the formers, but this feels just like the dreams I still have of this room. And the wonderful people in it. So, my name is Linda Combs, and I am currently the president of the board of directors of the Palmer Senior Services Center, doing business as Master Senior Services. And this is my second year at it. I'm not real sure how they snuck me in there too, but we recently, December 14th, in case you don't get our newsletter, and I'm gonna be looking for you guys' names on our list, so you'll get it in the future. We made a decision, our board did, and we have promoted Mr. Pettit here. I'd like you to know who he is. Tim Pettit has been a longtime employee, and he's been the Senior Services Facilities Director and Transportation Manager as well. And what we've decided to do is just like everybody else, going topsy-turvy after pandemics and everything, as we're trying something that I hear is cutting edge, actually. You promote from within, you get really good people, you promote from within, and you team them up. So we've teamed him up with our chief operating officer, who's been there 16 years. Between the two of them, they gotta know what's going on. And so I expect to only get, 10 calls a week instead of 20. That was number one. I did want you all to know that we had made that decision, because one of the biggest decisions for me to even run for the board of directors there was, I believe I said this at Planning and Zoning the other night, Palmer's uniqueness and survivability rests on the fact that we have dozens, hundreds even, of individuals like every one of you, not just sitting on that side of the table, but every one of you, that who care enough about our community to put in, whether it's 2 hours, 200, 2,000. We are a community that has held together, and I believe that if you've been doing like I have and reading all of those horrible economic reports for the last few weeks about what's supposed to be coming at us, I believe Palmer's going to be okay, just like we always are. We are going to have to do some, I think, Tim, right-sizing, that's your phrase. Not downsizing, right-sizing. But in the meantime, I have every faith in the leaders of this community because of the history we have. And they're willing to honor that history by using the same moral values and the same grounded sensibilities to look into the future. You'll hear probably more in the coming future. I know it's come before the council in the past. I predict that it's going to come up again. Cities that are called 8 to 80. And I already believe that Palmer is an 8 to 80. The concept being that you see that quality services, quality businesses, et cetera, laws, fair laws, everything is in a community where an individual could literally live from 8 to 80 and be served and served well. So I know Palmer's not perfect. Some people think that I think it, but that's why we're all still working at it and that sort of thing. So the other reason why I came this evening or wanted to be here this evening is my buttons just burst right off my sweater that I had on that day when I first heard about the very, very proud city council in front of me that had voted into their budget exactly what I'm talking about. And we're going to make sure that we get the word out there any way we possibly can. That the Palmer seniors now have a shopping bus that is free of charge to them on Friday afternoons for a couple of hours. That the city of Palmer has partnered with Valley Transit to provide this service free of charge to these seniors. I'm sure you all have heard stories about seniors. It's pretty simple, though. Transportation, food security, and medical. Three top concerns of seniors, and we have 55 apartments right there next to our senior center, which is where this bus will be every Friday afternoon. Anybody that needs a ride. A lot of our seniors in those apartments do not have transportation. And we have not had the ability to provide the type of transportation in the past few years that we had before. This is the answer. The community reaching out. The community holding each other's hands and saying, I'm going to help you get up. And I'm going to help you walk along. And it won't matter if you're 8 or 80. So when I saw this, I said, this is exactly what I've been talking about. This is actually my goal for my coming year as president, is I want more and more, and I want to convince more and more people, this is what we need. We need organizations. It doesn't matter whether it's a municipality or a nonprofit, a for-profit, whatever, a service organization. We have wonderful all of those in this town. We just need to get together. We need to fit ourselves together more like Legos, I guess, and just keep making it work. So I'm awfully proud to be all those former things. And still come and sit here once a month for planning and zoning, because that future for my grandkids and my great-grandchildren is important. And I wanted to thank you all for your service and for this. Thank you.
Yeah, I knew you'd say something.
Okay, so next up we have some of our reports. Actually, Mr. Macy, it looks like we have the city manager's report.
Yes, I will. I will be brief. I think it's 2 months ago the city approved to start construction on a fire engine for our fire department. That came in at the whopping price of $867,000. Today, and I had the chief check 2 months later, that same apparatus would be over $1 million, north of $1 million in just 2 months. So thank you. Thank you very much. You know, and sometimes we ask for things now to fit in, and this is one that will pay off. So I just want to let you know, we always want to make good decisions, but this was a timely decision. Unfortunately, we're probably not going to get it till 2024, maybe, but it's coming. It's coming. The other thing, too, is, and we need to have a discussion at the next meeting, because part of our construction project summer that has been reported to you is the Auclid Avenue. It's the trail. It's the road. It's however, going through and doing some research, there was money put aside by the city council in the past for part of this funding. Now it's up to about $600,000. And originally when that was put in, it was put in to match for a LID, a transportation where the city is doing water and sewer, curb and gutter. Then we would charge the residents for a portion of that payment, and they'd use this money for that, and then the residents would pay back over 20 years. I think it's been well over a decade since Palmer has done that. So originally part of that money was for that. In addition, my predecessor, having the foresight with this metropolitan planning organization that's being created, was hopeful that some of that money could be used as a match if that federal money came forward. That organization is starting now to take shape. We don't know when that money will be available and if it will be, other than expenses. So the reason for that is the Auclid was dependent on this money, but we need to have discussion because a portion of that money was for a LID project, and also too is put away for a potential match for any money coming from federal through the Metropolitan Planning Organization. So just want you to think about that. That was something I myself and the Public Works Director did not realize that fund was set aside partially for. And so instead of just moving forward, and then after it gets done a month later, you say, well, John, what happened to all the money we put away? I think it's better to ask and have the discussion before. So I plan to do it the next our next city council meeting, but I wanted to inform you of that and let you think about that. The last thing I have is this summer, the next phase of the Glen Highway, just south of Palmer, is going to be under construction. Of course, that's a joyful time for everybody who has to travel through there. So I will keep you informed of that, and if it's okay with the city council, we will invite somebody from DOT to kind of be here to answer any questions during a future meeting, kind of get a schedule. I know, you know, we invite quite a few people to Palmer. What is that going to be like? What is it going to be like with the fair? How is this going to affect business? You know, is it, you know, is it another 5 or 10 minutes of screaming kids in the back seat, palatable for families? Those type of things we will be there if it's okay, directed to have somebody here from DOT in the future. That is all I have for tonight.
Thank you. Next up is the mayor's report. And Mr. Mayor, do you care to update us on your mayor's report?
Sure. I probably should start with why I'm up on the TV instead of there in person. And is the audio coming in okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. So last week's been particularly crazy, kind of culminating with my brother and I taking my mom to the hospital last night. She's in for observation. She's doing better now, but I got very little sleep last night, and I was afraid that I wasn't necessarily going to be coherent to run a meeting. So I thought I would phone in or Zoom in. And then I remembered, I think it was 9-10 years ago, we had a case where Mayor Delaney Johnson was out of town and she was calling in, and we had a discussion beforehand and kind of agreed that whoever's chairing the meeting should be in the room. So if technology breaks down and I get cut off, then it doesn't cause any problem with the running of the meeting. So, and I also thought it was a great time for the deputy mayor to get to run a meeting. So that's kind of why I'm up here and just kind of listening in. And then I have a written report in there. If there's any questions, I can try to answer from the council, but that's my report.
Okay, thank you very much. And to the city clerk, do you have your
report? I do not have a report, but I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. And the city attorney's report.
Good evening, all. Can you hear me? My mic has been on me for not being loud enough. So I wanted to follow up with some of the tasks assigned by the city council. In regards to the city council did approve, but you wanted me to confirm if there were any potential future liabilities associated with the Matsu Valley Drug Enforcement Multidisciplinary Team funding that was going to our Palmer Police. And there is none. There is absolutely no liability, no expectations. This is at the goal setting, dream setting stage. This is the paperwork that you signed off on, allowed us to apply for grant funding and assist in a team, but there is no promises made that could possibly be legally enforcing for the city. So I have evaluated all the data from our wonderful chief of police and wanted to assure the council that your initial take was accurate regarding that. Then in terms of the previous council meeting, the golf course edits, those are in process, almost completed, the ones that we discussed, and that will be on the February 14th agenda. For the golf course contract amendment for approval that you were looking at. In terms of the Palmer Visitors Information Center contract and the Palmer Museum contract, I was able to meet with the board members and the brand new executive director. And I do appreciate that she met with me on her second day in there. So I met with her last week. She responded to me on the first day. So there was speed and appropriateness regarding that. Met with them to begin to discuss the city council's concerns regarding brand protection, especially of the city and the lack of that in our contract for the city's name and in terms of that with working with the independent contractors. in the current status, as well as really emphasizing our desire to have a social media clause with any contractual relationship we have with any independent contractor going forward that would protect the brand of the city. So that is in process. I don't have a completed item for that. I'm meeting with them again tomorrow. Evaluating several edits in terms of the contract in general. And so that is an in-process check. And that's my report for this evening.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the attorney? Mr. Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have had some concerns raised about the museum contract, and we've also been raising a lot of contract questions because there's a young council, and we are just being, you know, very, very diligent at looking at all the contracts. And just like we had seen just with our agenda, we have council members who have a very good eye at picking the small things that have been overseen. The golf contract, do you see anything coming up in that in your review that is going to be contentious later on?
Not at this time, but I'll make those edits, those will be out in advance, meeting the clerk's deadline. So that information will be out and could be, the edited version will be out, I believe, a minimum of a week before the February 14th meeting. So at that time, I can address any questions, and if I have a concern, I will highlight it in my comments with that contract at that time. But so far, I do not, in terms of the overall piece. Part of the challenge that just looking at the contracts in general, and the only two that I've really evaluated on behalf of the City Council has been the Gulf, that Enterprise Fund, and the Palmer's Visitors Information Center and the museum. I've also been working with the airport to do an overall audit of some of their old items. So what's been really interesting working with the Palmer City is we've sort of had very old contracts, like you saw the history from like 1991 or 2006, that have been just recirculated repeatedly. And whether or not some of them were drafted by attorneys or if the attorney was flagged first, I don't know. But there's just been some interesting edits. And of course, case law and contractual law has evolved some since that. So there are some items that I'm like, okay, how would you do if we terminate? How do we get out of this? You know, just basic business clauses that I just want to ensure that the city has the opportunity for. Not anticipating that would be necessary, but my job is to make sure you have the landscape and an exit strategy should that be needed.
Certainly, and that's where my concern really lies with that. We make sure that our contracts going forward are much more tightened up, and that. You know, we've maybe gotten a little laxed with how we have done things. It's our history. It's been a handshake and just, you know, local folks just doing stuff. And I think with good intentions, we have allowed some entities that are working with the city to maybe manage more than what they should have, or we just didn't hold them back from doing some of the good that they were out there doing. And that has caused us to go down a path where we contractually have no control. And that there have been missteps for years. And I believe that there was a lot of good intentions, but it also begs the question of when, at what point do we draw a line? And so I would actually like to ask for the city manager and the attorney to bring back an RFP in the next 6 months for the museum contract. And that to be part of a discussion. It's not a position. It is about making sure that we are making sure that we have everything in line so that we can get out of something in case we have to. Because right now, we're still in the negotiating stage of trying to go forward. So I want to make sure that we cover that butt too.
And may I ask clarity, is that for the museum contract specifically or the visitors information center?
I will allow you to look at both and to present us with both or a separation of the two entities?
I think it was
council support. We need some council support on that. Does anybody want to second that?
Second.
Mr. Alcantara.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So I have to ask, and I appreciate the comments from Councilmember Best. Definitely, while I don't feel young, I feel like I do look with eagle eyes at the minutes and the contracts that come before the city. But I'm a little chagrined and a little maybe disappointed to hear that the golf course contract now is going to be brought back before us not until 3 weeks from now on February 14th. I guess this question is more for the city manager because I do not see Mr. Collum here in the audience. Have you had, I'm a little worried because I've had conversations with Mr. Collum and the contracts in the past, there were two payments, one on January 15th and one on February 15th to kind of jumpstart their work. And I was sort of the one that recognized the five-year contract was truly a six-year contract and that it really wasn't an argument over $8,000 as much as it was trying to clean up the contract. And I guess I'm just wondering, now we're looking at three more weeks before I don't have the contract from Eagle Golf Course Management can get either one of those payments.
So Mr. Collum could not be here. He is out of state getting ready for the season to buy equipment and supplies, that sort of thing. There has been a payment forward, not at the amount, but he is in. Number one, it was done because we still have a contract, and the city does not want to be in breach of a contract. He has employees that this money was there to pay them. If they're not paid, they're lost, and then we're having some issues with that. So we have been working. I have been very conservative. He has been very understanding. He would like to be here tonight, but because it concerns the city council, we did not want to bring that back tonight when he was not present. We felt Mr. Hansen could address, but I felt city council wanted to meet with Mr. Collum. And the other thing too is, part of comments of council member Best, I think, is accurate, but things changed for the city, you know, during COVID, and we're still trying to readjust and come back. Because my understanding, Mr. Collum would come to the city council and address them before the season started and after the season started, but because the disruption, it just did not happen. He is very much willing. He would like to meet with city council. He did not push it last time because he wasn't requested to do so. And that would be the manager's responsibility to request that. So that is not on him. So I think we're in good stead. We can work through this. I don't want the city in any case to be in breach of a contract. Because it is our golf course. We rely on that success, which I think this is why you're looking so stringently at this. You want to make sure we have success. So we're not putting his operation or our operation in harm's way while we work through this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Moosey, and thanks for rekindling my memory that I did talk to Mr. Collum on January 11th, and he did tell me that he was not able to be here for this city council meeting. So I appreciate that answer, and I'm glad things are moving forward and look forward to kind of crossing the T's, dotting the I's, and putting this thing to bed on February 14th. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to remind the council members that you have a short mayor tonight, so if you sometimes it might be wise to raise your finger if because I can't see your microphone. So okay, so we are going to open ourselves up for audience participation. 3 minutes per person. Please sign in and state your name.
Okay.
Is that like a first in all time? Okay.
Good evening, council members. Is it on? Ooh, yeah. My name is Cindy Hudgens, and I live here in Palmer. And I just wanted to read you something. Hey, Palmer friends. This is from yet another secret group. The Palmer Museum could really use a little help. There's a small but vocal group who have made it their project to show up to every council meeting for the last year and talk about how everyone in the museum should be fired and the place closed down because of two things. I don't recall us asking for the place to be closed down or everybody to be fired. The inclusion of a pride flag emoji, which a little while later you'll get a little more education on what that pride flag actually stands for. And the presence of a land acknowledgement in the museum website. Now, our issue with this land acknowledgement is the unceded ground. There is no ground in Alaska that is unceded. That is a blatant lie. I don't work for the museum anymore, but there are good folk working there getting constant hate mail and threats from these people. I'm one of these people, and I have never made a threat or sent hate mail, and I would like to see some hate mail. Let's have some evidence here. Okay, unfortunately, the group has an ear of some of the folks in the Palmer City Council. They are pressuring council to withhold funds. Okay, I didn't know that. And terminate the contract with the nonprofit that founded and runs the Palmer Museum and Visitor Center. I don't believe this nonprofit has been running the museum since its founding. I don't believe they founded it. It was actually established October 7, 1972. These lovely people are the same crew who spent a year slandering and actually recalled three city council members. Well, we didn't slander anybody. It was all truth. They broke the law, and it was actually the voters of the city of Palmer that got them recalled. And they're a little more drunk on their perceived power. I don't feel drunk on my power. I don't feel I have any power, actually. They have been pushing to remove any mention of people of color or the LGBTQ community from Palmer's story. No, I don't think so. Matter of fact, I was recently reading a write-up of my grandfather's. He was one of the original colonists up here. And he talked about some of his friends that were people of color. They're in the history. We have never asked for them to be smitten from the history. Is that us?
Yep, that's you.
Okay. Okay, there'll be more later. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wants to speak for the council?
Hello, my name is Eric Anderson from Palmer. I've been a resident since 2009. I'm an avid golfer, as well as hockey player and outdoorsman in general, but I take golf serious, and I really appreciate the Palmer Golf Course. It's probably one of the longest running golf courses in an Arctic climate in the world, from April till sometimes end of October, early November. And we're very blessed with the time we get to golf there. I will say the management has done a great job of organizing events for a small demographic, but they haven't marketed the place to its maximum potential. I'm the one that probably wants a better contract with them, and I want it more revenue-based with profit than breaking even. I got the papers from the finance department here. They go back to 2013. And from 2015, we had an operating expenses or operating revenues of about $870,000. And then last year, our operating expenses was about $670,000. So in 7 years, our operating expenses or revenues have actually decreased about 11%. And also our management fees have decreased about 19% too. So I think when you look at that, you look at we pay less, we make less. If we pay more, we make more. But I guess when you're going to renew the contracts or go through them, just please look to make sure they're revenue-based for profit and not just for breaking even, because it is an enterprise fund. And so it's there to make money. It's not there to break even. And we can be doing a lot better than revenues of $600,000 a year on a $400,000 a year contract. At an $800,000 a year contract, our revenues were about $800,000. They match. So I don't know why the difference now is that it's so much less. So I'm for the golf course. I love it. I don't want you to cancel any contracts. I just want you to clean it up, but also clean them all up. Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You can please sign in.
Yes.
For the record, thank you.
This is the awkward part. Good evening. I am Mary Jo Parks, the president of the Palmer Museum of History and Art. I'm not here tonight to discuss or respond to any of the Facebook sites that are making comments, good and bad, about what the what we do as an organization for you. But I am here tonight to introduce you to our new executive director, Amber Lindstrom. After a two-month national search and reviewing six candidates, we realized that we had the best expert right here in the Valley. Amber comes from the Valley, works for a local engineering, has worked for a local engineering firm, helping with land acquisition and relocation to title research and public relations. She's volunteered for many organizations, including the Palmer Fire and Rescue, where she has created numerous events for them to raise money. She's also volunteered for the Chamber and is well known for her cross-country coaching, cross-country skiing coaching. Her passion for history and her dedication to Palmer made her the perfect leader we were looking for to be our new executive director. Ta-da, Amber. She told me she'd hate me for this. Okay. So real quickly, though, I do want to give you, I thought that I would do a little review of the work that we do. The Palmer Museum of History and Art has been your contractor for many years. We're proud of the success that we've brought to the Visitor Center and to the museum. We have weathered the economic declines, earthquakes, the wind and ice of last year, many storms, and the COVID pandemic. Because of our hard work, we've once again been able to keep the doors open and to keep the citizens of the Valley and the nation, as well as the world, great information about Palmer. We have a handout for you. Or we can leave them here, whatever is best. Okay. We are the overseers of the museum. We care for and preserve the city's artifacts. We also provide exhibits, information about the history. The on the website, our inclusion of the different pictures from around the valley have been really greatly appreciated and well known. We have over 2,500 objects and over 14,000 photographs, and you thought you had it hard with your photograph organization. Anyway, this past year, we are proud that over 327 buses stopped here in Palmer. Over 6,931 bus patrons were on those. These people came to the visitor center, the museum, and to Palmer City businesses. We had over 10,800 out-of-state patrons. And one of the things that we're really proud about is over 10,600 in-state patrons. One of the goals of the museum organization has been to bring in locals as well. And in doing that, on the back, it talks about, one, we certainly have shared the Palmer Visitors Guide around the valley and around the state. We have promoted the historical photo projects. One of the fun things that we've been doing, oh, I'm out.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
You have the paper, but thank you. Was that?
No, you're fine. Okay. Just a little tip, if next time when you come, just tell us you're a group and you get 5 minutes.
Oh, thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to participate in audience participation?
So I won't lose any time. I'll write my name when I'm finished. My name is Jackie Goforth. I'm from Greater Palmer. I have also read the Facebook post, although I'm not online, and all of it is riddled with such errors. I want you to know that President Kennedy said it. He said that secrecy is repugnant to an open society because people in a secret group can write whatever they wish to, and there's nobody who can actually say anything about it. Now, I want you to know, and you were here, the reason that I had the first problem with the Palmer Museum is because there was a pride flag emoji on their website. The pride flag is synonymous with pedophilia. It is synonymous with pedophilia, and I have spent the last 6 months giving you visual evidence of that to the extent that even Councilman Alcantara said he could understand why someone was offended at the pride flag. They call it LGBTQ+. It's called MAP, minor attracted persons. The pride flag does not mean what people think it means. And it should be a symbol that is put on people. I don't care if they tattoo themselves with the pride flag. Just don't put it on a municipal site and say that Palmer agrees with it. That's what I said, and that's what I meant. It had nothing to do against the LGBTQ community. And if you think I have a problem with the LGBTQ community, please read my first book, Lady of the Night. It won 7 awards and has 15 review awards because it is about a man who falls in love with his steward thinking it's a male. I don't have any problem with LGBTQ. What I have a problem with is pedophilia, period. Now, the newest problem I have is with the word unceded. Unceded, no matter how you define it, means that there is no treaty in place that the land was taken, that there is no yielding of it, and that people who are on that land do not own it. It can be used later. It is a problem that is waiting for a chance to happen. My husband happens to be an Indigenous person, as you know. I have BIPOC Indigenous children, although I don't like labeling people. I have an Indigenous granddaughter. You saw her here. She is the love of my life. All of them are. I do not hold anything against anybody. I believe in Martin Luther King's words. Content of character. That's what I've always believed in. Now, I want you to know that the Palmer Museum, the group that's been running the Palmer Museum, there is a problem there. If you go on their site right now, under palmermuseum.org, and you look under history, you don't get the history of Palmer. You get what's been happening in the last 2 years, and one of them is something like a joke walk. The other one is a listing of how many times you can go for a museum walk, right? July 24th is listed 17 times. Now, I had to open each one to find out what it was, and it's a different day that you could sign up for, but it's little errors like that the people who are looking on the site out of state or wherever they are, trying to decide if they want to come to Palmer, why would they want to come to a place that still has COVID mitigation in there? You have to be masked. They only let 10 people in there. You have to quarantine for 14 days. It says they don't own the land that the building sits on. And now they have all these things listed, but 17 of them look like it's the same day, same walk. That's my problem with the museum.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Does anyone else want to speak during audience participation? You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Mine's not going to be as long. I'd like to know who in this room...
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Oh, Margaret Lua, or Maggie Lua. I want to know who in this room has been a colonist grandchild or grandparent or whatever. Is there anybody? Yes, just one of us. My grandparents come in up here in 1935. They had property here where Palmer Vet is. There was no unseated because they came from Wisconsin up here to farm the land. So you people who think you know what unseated is, you're wrong. They would have, the government would have never brought them up here to work on ceded land. And you guys from the museum?
Maggie, I'm going to ask you to speak directly to council, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. The museum started out to be the colonist museum. Now it's being decided what is in there that is good enough. My grandparents' stuff is in there. The Moffitts, the Hermans, and all the other people that came up here. They put something in there all the time. There's pictures of my grandparents in the museum. I don't want this museum to turn out to be a woke museum. I want the truth and only the truth and the people that came up here in 1935. Because you're disgracing the colonists that came up here to make a living as a farmer. Okay, I'm done with that. I'm disappointed in you council members, Mr. Moosey, Jade, because when we had that bad storm right before Christmas, I could not get out of my house because they wouldn't come and plow one of the small drifts right before my house. That's discouraging. I called 10 times and asked them just to get a truck or something to plow the area. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anybody else like to come forward? Please sign in and state your name for the record. Thank you.
It's a long name, so I'll do it at the end. My name is Bill Klebisettle, a born and raised Palmer resident. I just wanted to express my concern about the comment on the museum website as unceded land. I don't know what the end game is for that. Is it an acknowledgement of guilt from the colonists that came up here? Did we not have clear title to the land? Until that's completely fleshed out, it seems like an apology. Did we take the property from the Chicklun tribe? Did they take property from a previous tribe? How far does it have to go back? I understand that we're the current community now, but unless that there's a legal definition of that, I just don't feel it has a place on our website or on a city website, even affiliated with it. Is it a camel nose under the tent flap idea for future legal action down the road? I don't know, but it's unless it's thoroughly vetted, I don't think it should belong there at this point. I could spell that. It's a long one. Yeah, I thought so. Things change over time. I went to school with John, too.
Okay. Is there anyone else for public comment? All right, well, we are going to close audience participation. Next up, we have a couple of resolutions for public hearings. Resolution number 23-006, designating authorized signatures for check signing affecting any and all disbursements of city monies for the general checking account, and designating city representatives who are authorized and empowered to execute and deliver all documentation and instructions on city investment accounts. Okay. Yep, we're going to open it up for public comment. None whatsoever. All right, we're going to close it for public comment. What are the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. And do you want to call the roll?
Council member Alcantara?
Yes.
Council member Best?
Yes.
Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Council member Tudor?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Moline?
Yes.
Council member Ojala?
Yes.
Council member Anzalotti?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Thank you. And next up, we have resolution number 23-007, appropriation of funds in the principal amount not to exceed $206,460 for the purchase of a new loader-mounted snowblower from BSI Equipment LLC for Palmer Roads as a direct replacement for existing 42-year-old loader-mounted snowblower. So we're going to open this up for public comment.
Hello, Eric Anderson from Palmer. I oppose this appropriation of funds because I think, well, on our meeting minutes, I think for this, I don't have it with me, but for this meeting, I think the meeting minutes from the last meeting, Mr. Moosey stated that there's a grant for the Safer Community Funds, and I think snow removal equipment is included in that. Also, we're 2 weeks away from when we just approved the budget, and I think you guys specifically asked Mr. Billifer, is there anything else on your list? Because you got expensive items, and he said no. Well, we had our first snowstorm, which was a bad one with the wind, and you can't fight Mother Nature, but all of a sudden we need a new snowblower. This is Alaska. These loader-mounted snowblowers, they're all over. And instead of buying it from the general fund, you should either chase it with the grant application that Mr. Moosey suggested last meeting, or you should just try to buy a used one off the slope. We have a good relationship with all the equipment companies in the state, and I know buying used equipment for a city entity is not common, but these snowblowers, they're not worth $250,000 new. The older one is probably a lot more durable and better than a new one you're going to buy. Yeah, parts are hard to find, but $250,000 as an impulse buy after our first and probably what could be our only snowstorm of the year seems a little bit hefty on my side. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this resolution? Okay, we're going to close it for public comment. So what are the wishes of the council?
Move to approve.
Second.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? You can ask them. Thank you. Do you guys want to discuss this? Do you need a staff report, anything?
Yes, staff please.
Report, please.
Yes,
staff
thank
report.
You. Mr. Moosey.
So yes, and this was, you know, and probably should have, but we did not anticipate the worst snow storm that we had probably in two decades, followed up by a windstorm that, once it was cleaned up, blew it all back in the wrong places and hardened it up. So we have three loaders for the city of Palmer and one loader for the airport. During this event, two of them were down. We have one mechanic, and miraculously, we were able to get him back up in a couple days. But from the calls I received from your neighbors and some of you, waiting for a couple days was not acceptable. This is a 42-year-old piece of equipment. It's amazing that it's still operable and works. I think that really kind of goes to show how the city of Palmer takes care of their equipment. And for the record, most of the city of Palmer's equipment is hand-me-downs from the state or someplace else. Our other two loaders, our newest loader for the city of Palmer was also purchased last century. It's in 1999. So, I mean, the newest one is 23 years old. This is not a toy. This is not something cool to have. This is necessary to serve our public. A young lady spoke, and we certainly didn't clear out the drift in any time that was acceptable to her that spoke tonight. And I did not ask her to criticize us so I can get this blower tonight, but thank you very much for that. That helps me. Yes, this was not planned for. It was not budgeted. But we really didn't anticipate. We had a grader. It broke what we call the dog bone, which is a big, huge metal thing. It was a miracle that we got, and it was down. It was a miracle we were able to get it shipped up and got here in 5 days. That does not happen. When it comes to this purchase, usually, like the fire engine, we buy it, and it may come. We still have two pickup trucks that were ordered, not in April 22, April and 21, we still have not received. This is a little bit unusual. This was somebody else who ordered this. They walked away from the purchase, so it's available to us. It's one off. I think we need it. I certainly don't want to have the biggest snowstorm that we've had since December again and be down broken equipment, because I know everybody here, nobody here, including myself, including my staff who worked their tail off, wants to take as long as it did. It inconvenienced and it put people's safety at risk. So I would certainly ask you to please approve that. I think it's a prudent expenditure. It's not a toy or nice to have. It's necessary. And like the vehicles we can't seem to get, this is available now. And I think it's the right time to pull the trigger.
Mr. Tudor.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify, I mean, is there a different funding source for this?
So the SAFER grant that I brought was for fire personnel. We are not going to get word, and like I said, told you before, if we apply for it now and we do get awarded, you're not going to have to make a decision on that until 2024. It's that far out, and it's not, it's, now it could be for street cleanup equipment. I don't believe so. The person who applied for the grant is doing all the work, says no, it's strictly for fire personnel, not for graders, loaders, box cutters.
Councilman Best.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Deputy Mayor. Sorry, Steve. The health safety aspect of it is the big thing for me. We've heard testimony from individuals having a hard time getting out. We've heard testimonies earlier about the seniors, some of them, you know, not having the transportation level that a lot of us rely on. So this is a health and safety issue that I have no problem going with. And also when we kind of look at where we kind of dodged a little bit of a bullet and saved a little bit of money by buying the fire truck, well, this is the other foot coming down. And so, you know, he washed one hand, washed the other, so.
Thank you. Mr. Alcantara.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. And thanks for the correction, my good friend, Councilmember Best over there. So, Mr. Moosey, what was the answer to the question, or I'll ask this question. If we approve this tonight, when do we get this piece of equipment?
It is our understanding if it's approved tonight, it will be mid-February.
Okay. I'm kind of following up on
that. 2023.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for clarifying. So effectively, about the time of our next city council meeting, in about 3 weeks, give or take a few days. I just, you know, with all diligence from Mr. Anderson's comments, which I think are valuable and I think we need to take into account. But St. Patrick's Day of 2003, we had an incredible snowstorm, 18 plus inches. I would say that, you know, not wishing us anything like that. Every 20-year event, as he said, it's been a couple of decades since we've seen something like we saw last month. But I agree with my fellow council member that this is pretty much a safety issue. Yes, it's a new piece of equipment. Sometimes it's not a bad thing. We're not buying anybody else's problems. And I expect the fuel we save and the downtime that we save will probably end up paying for itself. So I'm willing to take the risk and move this forward. So thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and put my two cents in, is that after many conversations with Jude, as well as Mr. Moosey, about this very issue, I think that it's worth taking into consideration how old the rest of the equipment is as well. And we did specifically ask that we take a tiered approach to the equipment and having, you know, appropriate equipment for what's happening, you know, around us within the city. And I think that we're pretty conscientious with our budget. We've been extremely lean this last time, and plus you've got some people on the council who are, we get pretty down into the weeds when it comes to the financial data. So I too have no heartburn with this. I think this is going to put us in a position where if an older piece of equipment does break, at least we have this newer piece of equipment. And I have no heartburn about this. Mr. Ojala.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. So I was just wondering, so this is going to, oh, this is, I'm sorry, this is to Mr. Moosey. So this is going to replace an older snowblower? Is this older snowblower going to replace broken? Or is it just, is that the one that got damaged during the storm?
So the 1999 one got damaged. And it got damaged because somehow in a snow pile, a big rod was sucked up in it and busted it pretty good. We had another, the one at the airport went down. So I don't know what Jude's plan is. I don't think we are going to, at this point in time, surplus it. I think for what we went through, we need to have backups. And like I said, I thought it was a miracle that when stuff broke and we needed parts, I mean, there's not a blower parts store here in Palmer. It's lower 48 and it's being shipped up. Better safe than sorry. You know, city council's there for a purpose. You have a manager in operations to provide services for our citizens. They count on it, they rely on it. And any way we can make that more reliable, I think that's what we need to do. So if there's anything else other than what I told you, I'll have Jude come back and report to that. But I think we're going to hold on to it because last January and last December, I think we have to prepare for everything here.
Thank you.
All right. So if there's no other concerns, I think we should go ahead and vote on this.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Alcantara?
Yes.
Councilmember Anzalotti?
Yes.
Councilmember Ojala?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Moline?
Yes.
Councilmember Tudor?
Yes.
Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Unanimous.
Next on our agenda is the action memorandum number 23008. Golden Heart Lifetime Achievement Award Selection. My apology for massacring that. And so, we need a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, call along. Does anybody have any questions about this? Oh, okay, Mr.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Must be the early 1980s Palmer High Graduates Day today, because I see that Mr. Richards is offered up as the Golden Heart Lifetime Achievement Award, and with Mr. Klebisaddle being here earlier, it's good to see these names. So I think, well, I haven't seen Ron, I don't see him in the audience, I haven't seen him in a couple of years. I think this is a great choice, so thank you.
All right, I think we'll go ahead and call the roll, please.
Councilmember Alcantara?
Yes.
Mayor Carrington?
Yes.
Councilmember Best?
Yes.
Councilmember Ojala?
Yes.
Councilmember Anzalotti?
Yes.
Councilmember Tudor?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Moline?
Yes.
Okay, unanimous.
Okay, and then next up we have unfinished business. It doesn't look like we have anything for unfinished business. For new business, do we have any record of items placed on the table? Madam Clerk.
Documents from the museum and documents from Ms. Goforth.
Okay, those will be distributed accordingly. I'd like to ask, did we have any communications that were sent in or emailed in? I think we may have received those
already. Right, there were some comments emailed to all the council members that I received today.
Okay, fantastic. So one more time, we're going to open up for audience participation, and you have 3 minutes to discuss anything on your heart.
There's a guy watching over me. My name is Eric Anderson from Palmer. Mr. Haberman keeps hitting me in the chest. he's like, you got to go up there. I'm not disappointed with that call on buying that snowblower. It sounded like it was the right time because it's a discounted price and it's a good backup. I think out of context is the more appropriate term I should use, because I think we should be more prepared for these kind of situations in the future. We are isolated here. Palmer is, you know, we're a wind tunnel in the winter. We never have to shovel our roofs, and in the summer, we never have to swap mosquitoes. So we have a couple benefits, but it is a wind tunnel, and we do drift bad. And sometimes the heavy snows are a burden for our crews. In my opinion, I think $200,000 would have been a lot better spent on filling all the vacant positions in public works so we have adequate drivers and also more on-call staff, snowblower drivers, because I think our snowblower drivers are on-call temporary hires for the winter only, the equipment operators that run the graders, I believe. But we could have more of those on call in the future. We just need to be prepared and not try to prepare for the minimum. You got to have a backup plan in case the plan doesn't work. So as far as that goes, I think it was good just because it was a discounted price. But I don't agree with why we bought it. And also, I'm disappointed with the golf course communication here now, because I don't think you guys really get what I'm trying to say as far as being a maximum revenue stream. You got to look at that. If we're only breaking even or $100,000 above cost every year, we have the wrong management company, period. It's a golf course. It's there to make money. One marketed tournament marketed correctly would triple that revenue stream on one tournament. But it's your call, thankfully. And I appreciate your service. Thanks.
It's for Cal. Come on up. Yeah, no problem.
Hi, I'm Mary Jo Parks again. So I, again, am the president of the Palmer Museum of History and Art. And I just want to remind people that history depends upon the storyteller. We've all heard many times different stories about different events that have happened in our world and how the storyteller tells it different. Different books are written and so on. It also depends upon the perspective of the person hearing the stories. And so I want to make sure that the council understands that the Palmer Museum of History and Art has represented you with dignity and with lots of making sure that the history of all of the area has been told or is being told. Certainly, there's a lot of things that are evolving. The work that we have done to promote Palmer as well, I want to make sure that you appreciate or, you know, could at least look at that and appreciate the hard work we've done. And once again, our funding has been held because of the contract discussions that we're having. And this is our time of year where we are buying and paying for ads and information that needs to go out to promote our summer tourism. And so we need resolution as soon as possible so that we can move forward to best represent Palmer and all of the businesses that exist here. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Well, thank you.
Cindy Hudgens again. Live in Palmer. I just want to continue here. The group is planning to make another push at the city council meeting this Tuesday at 6 p.m. If you have a minute to do one of the following, it would be very it would go a very long ways for some folks who are working hard to preserve and share the story of all our community's residents. I'm going to come back to that. Our town is what we make it. That's true. And the Mayonnaise Brigade has been making it a pretty ugly place lately. Please consider spending a few minutes of your time to speak some little sense aloud to combat the insanity. I was like, what the heck is a Mayonnaise Brigade? So this is very interesting. Something or someone who is plain and boring, sometimes used to describe Caucasian people and heterosexual people, boy, also known as vanilla. Were there ones that are called racist? That is very racist. And they are representing us with dignity? Wow, I don't call that dignity. So back here to preserve and share the story. Palmer was not a town before the colonists came here. There was no town. There was no development. There was no agriculture. The colonists were brought here to develop this area, to make it something. And that's what they did. And the Palmer Museum had always been a history of that making, of the hardships those people went through. My great-grandfather came here long before the colonists. He was here in 1912. He sailed into Kinnick River, little area, and hiked to his place there on Trunk Road. And I've read stories of how the mosquitoes were, they were terrible. And he had to do certain things in order to be able to claim that land. And I have great respect for those people that came here and developed this town and this area. And the museum is not doing it justice. The museum is on an agenda. It is a left woke agenda. And I don't like it. And maybe I think the next step might be to put it out to the people of Palmer. Maybe we need to do the same as the recall. Thank you very much.
Is there anyone else that would like to participate in council comments? Comments to the council. Sorry.
Jackie Goforth, Greater Palmer. I believe you are all in receipt of my FOIA request I just put in.
And I was asking for the resumes of all applicants for the executive director of the Palmer Museum, the date of the interviews, the interview questions, and if possible, the answers received, and the names of the participants conducting the interview. And had this been a position here at the city, I would already have that. I had all of your resumes when they selected you. Now, I want you to know that the things that have been said online, I am horrified at. The things that people have been saying about us are unbelievable, and I have an example for you in just a moment. But the selection of Amber Lindstrom, we have heard about how wonderful it is, but I already happen to have information about Amber Lindstrom while she was at the Chamber of Commerce, and there is an enormous problem with finances there. It happened to deal with the Bingle situation. And I believe I would like some more information on that, or the city council should look into that before everybody wholeheartedly accepts a person who will be running the finances of the museum. I believe you need to see what happened at the Chamber of Commerce. I believe she was also involved with the effort to change the Colony Day celebration in Palmer to the BARF, Braided River Festival. And I don't believe that that sort of person... Somebody should have asked these questions of her at the interview, and I'd like to see that. Now, since I realize the clerk is not going to hand you out what recently just came down, this is the latest, and I'm not going to say it. Unseated is the correct terminology, and I bet money these folks have never set foot in a museum. Much like banning books, they never read from libraries, they don't step into either. Excuse me, I write books. Now, since she will not show you what was said, I'll let you see the latest slur. And I thought Mayonnaise Brigade was bad. If this is the secret group that is protecting the contracted nonprofit, they really need to be looked at. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I can't quantify how disgusting that is. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thanks, Mike.
Okay. Mike Malevsky. I live in beautiful downtown Palmer, sometimes called Lesser Palmer. It's the internal part of things. And I guess I have a couple of things to ask. And these are rhetorical questions. You don't have to jump up and answer them. But think about it, whether you're in the audience or you're sitting up there. When was the last time you were in the museum? When was the last time you visited the museum and spent some time with the displays that are there? When was the last time you were on the golf course? How many times did you play this past summer? Once? 50 times? I know people who have played. Their regular every year play is 50 times on there. I've played it a few times. I'm not going to say that I'm a good golfer or that I play a lot, but I have been on that course, and I certainly enjoy visiting the museum. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes as I listen to a variety of discussions about what this group or that group said on this or another form of social media, I begin to say, wait a second. Isn't that the digital world that we fight against, that seduces us, that allows us to participate sort of in a pseudo fashion rather than actually being in the museum? Being on the golf course, or perhaps even being part of the board of directors for the nonprofit that is there at the golf course, at the museum. So I ask that rhetorically because I think it's a significant thing. And sometimes an action is taken here at the city council that has real implications. Any of you who are out in that storm that just happened, whether you were attempting to keep a doorway open or whatever, know how difficult it was. How difficult it was to keep the streets open, et cetera, or your driveway, not to mention the work with all of the streets. Those are real things. And I know that we talk about them and we write about them and we use social media about them, but it also, I believe, distances from the reality of what's there. And then we begin talking about the meaning of something that appeared at some point by someone, and it spirals out of control. So I just wanted to ask those kind of questions. But thank you for listening.
Is there anyone else that would like to come and speak before the council?
Maggie Lua here. This is directed at all of you, but a certain person. What was it? Back in November, I think, my husband and I were talking. You were talking about the snow drifts on Evergreen. Well, I've got a solution for you and to help the chief of police. Every time we have a snow drift, there's a cop car at one end, a cop car on the other, running all night long with its lights flashing. And then this year, this young man with his testosterone decided to take a ride over the snowdrift. And guess what happened? He got stuck. Nothing could pull him out. And his car sunk. And it was there for 5 days. So my suggestion is, you know those big, huge concrete barriers? Is stick them there, just leave enough room for cars coming in, and put residents only until you can come and plow it, Evergreen. It was a one-way, or it was a single street for 4 weeks. And when I tried to come out of my driveway, I was halfway out before I could see a car, oncoming car. And I was scared to death that I was going to get sideswiped by the drivers down Evergreen. So I was afraid for my life. I had to creep out until I was halfway out. Would you tell me I was in the wrong? And I think the fence, drift fence, is a good idea. Ask Jack Snodgrass, call him up and ask him. I'm sure he would let you do it. But when the snow's as deep as it was, I don't know if the drift snow or the drift fence would have worked. But to save you money on gas, I'd put a barrier at it both ends and say, only to locals. Only to locals. So that saved you money. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to participate? And I'm sorry. Audience participation. I'm sorry. I'm getting hungry. So, that's my fault for not eating before the meeting. There is no executive session. Council member comments. I think I am going to go ahead and kick this off for council member comments. And that is, so I truly want to thank everybody for coming out tonight. And we, as always, we appreciate everybody's input at these meetings. Chief, congratulations on another fine police officer. Very excited for you and what you've got going on over at your police station. It's very, very cool to see that. So, also, I would encourage everybody to participate in maybe taking a look at the 555 Restoration Company. That is something that I just discovered, and I've been from Palmer all my life since I was a little girl and never even knew that they were doing this. And I think it's very exciting. I would take a look at that. I just want to encourage everybody before you make final decisions on what is happening with the railroad right-of-way. The other thing that I would like to maybe perhaps is to take a moment to thank the city attorney for taking a look at contracts. And what I would like to do is to ask for some support. And I think that she's right. I think that there is, this council happens to be very or meticulous. We're into the weeds. We're business owners. We run, you know, companies. We want to look at every little thing. We take it seriously because we're responsible for your dollars. So I would like to make a motion to ask for support that all of our contracts, without resistance, be given over to the city attorney to look through and to make sure that they are up to date with our, especially with our social media and our branding content, but also just to make sure that there's nothing in there like such as what we found with the golf course contract. This isn't meant to hurt anybody. It's meant to protect the city and what we're responsible for. So I really would ask, and I'd like for those to be given. I'd like for the Mr. Moosey, I'd like for the directors to have those to her no later than February, I would say the 14th, by that council meeting. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. And that is all I have for now. Thank you. Mr. Best.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I just want to let everybody know that there is emotions that have been running rampant throughout, you know, Facebook for since its existence. People have utilized it as a tool to bash people, to spread misinformation. It's upon all of us to be a little bit more diligent in understanding that there are keyboard warriors that are out there that are just going to be out there just slinging stuff and slinging arrows. As elected officials, we all have to have a little bit of thick skin. And we also, when we're up here at the dais, we're here looking after everybody else's situations, as in our fiduciary responsibility as council members for the city. We're looking at trying to build better relationships. And so you have to have a little bit of a thick skin and you have to be able to work through things. When we're going through these contracts, we also, I want the public to realize it's just us doing business. It's not personal. You can get into the personal side of stuff and it can spill over and you can cause yourself a lot of problems. But right now, what we're doing is we're just being proper council members going through all the contracts. And there are going to be situations where people are going to be promoting and trying to get others to bash us about, but just maintain in your lane, understand the good works that we're doing, and just try to just do the best job that we can. So I continue to encourage the rest of council to do their homework, continue to reach out to the manager and to the attorneys and ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask the questions.
Thank you. Mr. Ojala.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I don't have a lot to say tonight. Thank you for everybody that spoke tonight. Congratulations to the chief on your new officer. I'm really happy to see that those positions are starting to go filled and you guys aren't so pressed for time because you can divide it up a little bit more. And thank you for everybody that came to talk about the museum. It's kind of important. Obviously, everybody's got a pretty, everyone has a pretty big opinion about it. So, thank you. Thank you guys all. Thank you.
Mr. Tudor.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. I also want to talk about the Palmer Visitor Center and Museum, and I just want to say thank you, Councilman Best and Deputy Mayor Lynn for your work on this, and I definitely support that we do need to open up all the contracts and look at them just for our duty as city council members. You know, one of the things I look at when I look at an organization the city does business with, that it should be very responsive, that the organization should always be looking to minimize the legal risk of the city. That's just kind of part of how I see our relationships with our contractors to be. Unfortunately, the issue I've ran into was in 2022, we had a period where Deputy Mayor Malin had to wait for quite a while for a meeting, and that just should not be the case. It should be prompt. We should get quick responses. And on top of that, I'm also told by the attorney that the use of the phrase "unceded land" puts the city at legal liability. And we need to make sure that those things are resolved. And again, as Councilman Member Best said, it's our fiduciary duty that we have to make sure that we are looking at what's best for the city and for the citizens of Palmer. And what I would like to do as well is I would like to make a motion to get support to create a committee within the city council to interface with the Palmer Visitor Center Museum, because I do want this relationship to work. I want